I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into The Memo on this Monday, the 17th of October, 2016. Brad Locke here with W. Derek Russell. Chris Kiefer on the board, although it's really just a computer. We don't do boards here.
There's a board. Actually, Podgator's on the board.
I don't know if you call that a board, at least not like when I worked in radio. We had the big thing with the control. Ooh, the lights are flickering.
What's happening?
Right Will Byers, you're here? Talk to us, Will. Will. We need to get some Christmas lights in here. He can talk to us through the Christmas lights. Whoa, there it goes again. He's trying to tell us something from the other side.
The upside down?
Yes, the upside down.
What were we talking about?
I don't know.
Hi, I'm Derek.
How was your weekend?
Who?
Your weekend, how was
it? Oh, it was fine.
Good.
I worked and...
Sounds...
Then I was here.
Great.
Again.
Okay.
And then I came back.
It's exciting.
I don't feel like I ever leave.
Not really any details to offer there, huh?
I have none.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
How was the wedding?
I was in a wedding, yes. It was fine. It was short and sweet, 15 minutes, boom, we're done. So I didn't have to wear a suit for that long.
Probably shouldn't be getting married. You're already married.
No. I was just a groomsman.
You know what they say.
No, what do they say?
I'm not really sure either.
But anyway, I got to ride around with my buddy's, the other groomsman. He's got a new Corvette. Got to ride around in it. It's pretty nice.
Nice.
Oh, it's nice. Yeah. I need me a Corvette. I could fit all the kids in it, no problem.
Is it red?
No, it's kind of a charcoal gray. It's pretty sweet.
I think I saw the picture.
Then the groom, he has a red Camaro. So I'm over here with my SUV like, well.
You're a dad.
Well, the guy with the Corvette has only one kid. The other one just got married. He's got no kids. And has no plans. I was like, yeah, it's pretty smart. So it was a good time. Got to see some people I hadn't seen in like 20 plus years. Used to go to church with, but it's always good to get back to Louisiana now and then.
Good state.
It is, Chris. Good state. Totally different part of the state. Actually, North Louisiana is like a different state from South Louisiana. Yeah. It's not even, it's more like Mississippi.
So. Well, that's true with any state.
What?
North Mississippi is far different than South Mississippi.
That's a good point.
Well, but it's more like the geographic line would make a lot more sense if it were a north-south divide. In other words,
It's really just basically the coast is different.
Yeah, but, I mean, if New Orleans and the coast are more of the same state and North Louisiana.
But you get to Louisiana and you hit Alexandria, that's pretty much the dividing line south of there. So, what have we got on the show today, Derek?
I want to know why some fonts on Facebook are now large.
Yeah, if it's a real short update, it makes the font really big. If it's a regular or long update, it's regular size. I don't know why they did that.
It's
almost like using all caps. Like, this is really important, even if it's not. Had some Cheetos with lunch, that would be in really big font. Yeah. Like, that's a big deal.
I wonder if
it'd be in the same size font as just had a baby.
Wait,
that doesn't make sense.
I wonder if...
What?
I wonder if it's if you use what's the thing called when you scream? An exclamation point.
I don't think so. No.
I think
because I don't use exclamation points, and it still happens to me.
Let's see what happens here.
I'm kind of against exclamation points
test.
In most instances. Test?
Nope, it's all full.
Yeah. So, Facebook does weird things without telling us. This is one of them.
Well, all right then.
Yep.
I don't feel like that added any humor to the podcast today. But neither does Brad.
We're off to a slow start.
What do we got on today? It's Monday.
We've got Bobby Harrison coming on to talk about education funding.
We'll be holographing him in live from the metro area.
Sure. Got Dennis Sid.
Help me, Brad Locke. You're my only hope.
Dennis Sid coming on to talk about Cooper Tire.
Cooper Tire?
Some kind of manufacturing project.
There's an S on the end of that.
I was at all weekend. I don't know what we wrote about. Then we got William.
Ah, he's a good reporter.
We got William Moore coming in to talk about Family Resource Center.
It's great, Brad. It's good work.
Yeah, it is.
Glad you were able to get all that together for us today.
No, it's Chris. It wasn't me.
Well, you're useless.
I just show up and talk.
Ah, you're just the beard of the Daily Journal.
And the face and the voice, apparently. Mm. I didn't say it. One of y'all did.
I didn't say it.
It must have been Kiefer.
I
forget.
Give you any bigger head than... How many selfies did you take this weekend?
Not more than a handful.
Uh-huh. How many is a handful for you?
I don't know. Three or four. There were other people in some of them. So I put on a suit, which is like, it's like spotting a unicorn, spotting me in a suit.
Yeah, document it.
Only rarer. So yeah, I had to document it. Three. Are you looking at my Facebook?
I got three just on your Facebook
wall. Okay, that's about right.
All right, I'm just checking.
Yeah.
Just trying to keep you humble.
I don't take as many selfies as I used to.
Thank God. Facebook community appreciates that.
Whatever.
I was having to tag and report a whole lot of them. Gonna go ahead and get started today.
All right. All right, let's go down to Jackson and welcome in Capitol Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison. Bobby, how are you doing today?
All right, Brad, how you doing, man?
All right, sir. Let's talk about education funding. We talked about it last week. This company called EdBuild has been hired to, modernize the state funding formula, the Mississippi Adequate Education Program, which is, you know, it's not been fully funded for a while. And there's been concerns that maybe this is a backdoor attempt to expand the state's charter school laws, but House Speaker Philip Gunn says that's not so, right?
Yeah, her name escapes me right now, but the woman who, the CEO and founder of EdBuild, which is a New Jersey-based company, has ties to some groups that were really into the charter school effort, and so some people expressed concern over that. But last week, Philip Gunn said that what the legislature's done over the past couple of years as far as expanding charter school law, he said that we need to see how that, we as a state need to see how that works before they do anything else. And Charles Busby, who is on the House Education Committee, handled the charter school legislation when it came through the House for the leadership. Said essentially the same thing back during a session when they passed the latest expansion to the charter school law. So that was interesting what Gunn said and what Busby said too. But there's still a lot of questions about EdBuild that we'll get answered over the next coming months.
Rebecca Sibilia is the name of the lady that's the CEO of EdBuild, based in New Jersey. She previously worked for an education group that promoted charter schools. And of course, charter schools, that's been a pretty divisive issue, Bobby. What, did we expect that to, going forward, is that going to be an issue? Or like you said, we're just kind of waiting to see, how they work out.
But if you take the speaker and the House leadership at their word, I mean, they've done what they're going to do for a while. And plus, there's the charter school board that was formed when they expanded the charter school law. They've been very conservative in granting license to charter school operators. I think there's only three or four of them in the state, so they're moving slow there. Right now, there's also a lawsuit going on to determine whether their charter schools are actually constitutional under Mississippi law. So that'll be playing out in the next year or so, too. So there's a lot of questions about charter schools, just like there's a lot of questions about changing the funding formula. So a lot of stuff's going on in education right now.
Yeah. Sibilia has said that, you know, charter schools are not really a primary goal of EdBuild. And then talking about Mississippi, she says that she said the funding formula is, quote, antiquated and arbitrary. I mean, what does she mean when she says that? How is it antiquated and arbitrary, I guess?
Well, that's going to be interesting to see as they move forward. I mean, they talk about, and I think that a lot of people would be for this, like, for instance, right now what the MAEP does is it determines how much it costs based on conservative numbers to provide an adequate education for a child in a efficient sea-level district. And then each school gets that amount of money times their average daily attendance, and that's the amount of money they get from the state. But as I understand it, what EdBuild is talking about doing is providing money based on more on the needs of the students. So, and like some of the special needs students, it takes considerably more money to educate those children than it does just the regular classroom students. So that would be interesting. If this plays out the way they're talking about more, it could be more money for public education. You know, it's funny when they, you know, back in the 2000s, mid-2000s, they, you know, some of the Governor Haley Barbour was concerned about the amount of money it would take, MAEP was taking, so he spearheaded an effort to get a study committee to look at that. And actually, the study committee said, well, you need more money. And one of the things they said you need more money for was at-risk students. And so, it may turn out different than what a lot of people are saying it's going to turn out as more actually a formula that produces more money for education. Now, the flip side of that is there's language in, I didn't get into this in my story, but there's language in MAEP saying this amount of money shall be funded each year. I bet that shall not be in any change to the formula. It would be more of a mate or will attempt to provide this amount of money per year, not a shell up provide this amount of money per year, because that's been kind of the clarion call of the a lot of public education supporters, is they just wanted the legislature to follow the law. And the law said you shall provide this amount of money to the schools each year, and the legislature has been violating that law because they hadn't been doing that.
And you know, some Democrats, obviously, they see this as a red flag hiring this company, but looks like maybe they're at least going to enter this process with an open mind. You quoted Jay Hughes, the Democrat from Oxford, who says he's going to, you know, try to take them at their word for now.
Yeah, take them at the word and just see where it goes. I think that's what the Superintendents Association, Mississippi Association of School Superintendents, that's kind of what, you know, they said that, you know, they supported an effort to get more money in the classroom, which the legislative leadership said is their intent through this revamping of the MAEB formula. So we'll see where it goes. But I mean, I think there's a lot of misconceptions out there, and even the company I saw founder of Ed Bill was quoted in another publication talking about how, you know, it was a mistake to give this amount of money to school district for, you know, like she said, transportation, to provide this amount of money for transportation. She was saying the school district should decide how that money's spent. Well, that's actually what MAP does. I mean, money, the school districts get a lump sum of money based on their average daily attendance and their risk students and some other factors, and it's up to the school districts to determine how that money is spent. And so I think Ed Bill is coming into this process and maybe don't have all the facts as it comes to the process, but I'm sure as they get on the ground, they'll learn more about MAEP and go from there.
All right, well, good stuff, Bobby. Y'all can find his latest story on this in Sunday's Journal and at djournal.com. Bobby, thank you, sir.
All right, thank y'all.
Yep. And hey, if you want to hear more from Bobby Harrison, watch the Daily Journal's Capitol View webcast each Monday afternoon at djournal.com. Bobby will provide commentary and analysis on the issues being debated in Jackson. You can watch live Monday afternoons about 2 o'clock or catch the replay later in the day. The 2016 legislative session is over, but Bobby will continue to provide perspective about the news coming out of the state capitol.
And don't forget, you can wake up and get ready for your day with the Daily Journal's News Break, a quick summary of news, sports, weather, and everything else Northeast Mississippi in a 5-minute video. Shows are posted every Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. You can watch them for free at any time at djournal.com, Facebook, YouTube, or the Daily Journal's mobile apps for Apple and Android devices. Stay informed on the latest happenings in your community in an easily digestible format.
Hey, we got William Moore in here with us, our crime reporter. But today we're actually talking to him about an education-type story he wrote.
It is educational.
Emma was sick last week. Were you just filling in for her?
No, actually, this deals with the Family Resource Center, which does a lot for law enforcement and the judicial system. But this is a separate component where they got a large grant, federal and state money, to help create this educational system. It's sort of hard to describe because they're trying not to reduplicate services.
Right.
But
right.
They have organized, become a separate school district, basically, that covers the entire state.
Yeah.
Folks can go online, get actual high school credits, and graduate and get an actual diploma from this online school district.
Yeah.
But in addition, they're also working with kids who may be behind or missed a few courses. They can use this to help catch up with their regular class, or it'll also work for, say, an older adult, somebody who's already should have graduated 2-3 years ago, but they only lacked a couple of courses. They can go back and take those courses and get an actual high school diploma.
And this goes, they don't do just strictly education and getting degrees. I mean, you're talking about life skills, conflict resolution, all kinds of...
The family resource, I mean, part of this grant is to go to help the entire family, and part of when they're dealing with families that are in trouble, part of it is educational, but like you say, part of it has to do with parenting skills, conflict resolution, budgeting. I mean, there's a whole host of things that they do, and as they're doing that across the north half of the state, though, in those situations, they're partnering with other agencies so they don't reduplicate services. Is there somebody already, say, in Greenville doing after-school tutoring? The Family Resource Center wouldn't go in there and set up an after-school tutoring class.
Right, and you've got another agency that kind of serves the southern part of the state, based in Jackson.
Right, there's another. It's sort of like a sister organization. It basically does the same thing as Family Resource Center, but it's based in Jackson. It does the entire south half of the state.
Okay, okay.
You know, and it's an interesting program. It's being operated by some folks that, you know, are well-known around here, Mike and Glenda Scott.
Yeah, Mike Scott, former
superintendent. Yeah. Glenda Scott was a former Tupelo high school principal, worked at the central office for a while. So, I mean, they're the ones that have been going around the north half of the state getting superintendents, you know, letting them know about this. And then the other aspect is the whole workforce training,
right,
which is being headed by former ICC president David Cole.
Oh, okay.
Which is basically they have partnered with the different community colleges in the area to help get folks workforce training. You know, they'll bring the people in, assess and figure out, you know, what they're best suited for, and then they can get to own, you know, whether they're working in the furniture industry or welding, metalworking, whatever. Right.
And Family Resource Center, they're part of this expansion, they're opening some satellite offices like Columbus, Oxford, and South Haven.
Columbus, Oxford, and South Haven, because it'd be almost impossible to do everything out of Tupelo. So they had to have some satellite offices. And then again, you get further away, like into the Mississippi Delta and further south, because they actually go all the way down to Madison County.
Wow.
You get the areas further south, they're partnering with other organizations and agencies that already have brick-and-mortar buildings where these folks can go to, you know, log onto a computer if they don't have one and take these online courses.
Okay. Well, that's a cool program here. And, again, it's a $5 million grant to help with this. You can read the story in today's journal. It's at djournal.com as well to learn more about it. William, thank you for your time, sir.
Glad to be here.
It's time now for today's news memo. For more on these stories, read the Daily Journal or visit djournal.com. A philanthropic pot-bellied pig puckered up for a trio of principals Friday to help a sick little girl in Fulton.
Nicely done.
Thank you. First try. Itawamba Attendance Center Principal Terry Harbin and Assistant Principals Martin Davis and Ashley Greer planted kisses on the nose of a miniature pot-bellied pig who has been living at the school for the past 2 weeks. It was part of an effort to raise money for first grader Addison Myers. Myers is being treated for leukemia at St. Jude Children's Hospital in Memphis. Over the course of a week, the school's students, teachers, and faculty raised a total of $6,464 to help pay for some of Myers' medical expenses. Approximately $2,600 of that money was raised through a bake sale and private donations. The rest was garnered by students who were asked to collect change for the cause. The initial goal was $2,000. Because they exceeded it, all three administrators agreed to kiss the pig.
Unforeseen problems continue to delay the Tupelo Police Department from moving into its new building. TPD was supposed to be in the new headquarters in mid-August. Officials currently are waiting on the elevator installation to be completed before they can schedule a final state inspection and fire marshal inspection. That would be really bad if you open the elevator and to get on and there's nothing there. That'd not be good.
That'd hurt.
Use the stairs, TPD. The city broke ground on the two-story, $10 million building in April of 2015. It is located at the corner of Front and Franklin Streets. The 34,000-square-foot building will include an armory, an exercise room, and a spacious spa. Just kidding. A spacious briefing room, actually, as well as evidence storage and the crime lab. All of the police divisions will be brought together under one roof.
You have a spa here at the Journal.
We have one.
Just give me an idea.
We keep it locked so you can't use it.
What?
I'll sell you a ticket.
Dang it. All right, moving on. Fulton leaders have agreed to draft an ordinance to prohibit smoking in public places throughout the city. In a divided vote last Tuesday night, Fulton aldermen agreed to take the first step toward approving a citywide smoke-free ordinance. It was supported by four of the city's five aldermen. Alderwoman Liz Beasley touted the benefits of joining the 125 other Mississippi towns and cities that have passed anti-smoking regulations. Alderman Mike Nanny cast the lone dissenting vote. He said Fulton does not have a problem with tobacco because business owners have taken care of the problem themselves and that a new ordinance is not necessary. Although city leaders didn't discuss the specifics of the ordinance, it likely will be similar to those adopted by other nearby municipalities like Mantachie and Tupelo. Typically, such ordinances limit the places residents can smoke.
A representative from the United States Justice Department has advice for Tupelo leaders trying to improve community policing efforts. Walter Atkinson said city leaders should think more proactively about the internal culture of the police department. Atkinson is part of the Justice Department's Community Relations Service. Tupelo Mayor Jason Shelton invited him to town to help review recent strategies put into place to improve trust and engagement between the citizens and city leaders. Police and city leaders have said the city has a strong commitment toward community-oriented policing. They cited various events and programs like the Police Athletic League and Community Forward Festival. However, Atkinson said community policing goes beyond special events and programs. He also said it includes things like the manner in which a police officer conducts a traffic stop. Tupelo Police Chief Bart Aguirre was at Thursday's meeting. He said he does want to instill a community-oriented culture in the department. He also said cultural change must be a two-way street.
Hey, be sure to check out the two sports podcasts we produce here at the Daily Journal. Prep Rally is a high school sports podcast with myself, Gene Phelps, and Blake Morgan. New episodes air every Wednesday. You can watch the webcast live around 11 a.m. at djournal.com, and the podcast version drops later that day. You can listen to it for free in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. And for Ole Miss and Mississippi State fans, you'll want to check out Double Coverage with Parrish Alford and Logan Lowry. New episodes come every Thursday afternoon. And the guys provide game previews, insight, commentary, and analysis on the Bulldogs and the Rebels. Listen to it for free in iTunes, your podcast apps, or doublecoverage.djournal.com.
Dennis Sid joins us now. Dennis tells me that from memory he knows this entire story, so he's going to recite it to us word for word. Go.
By Wait a minute. Dennis Sid.
You're reading.
Daily Journal.
What? Well, that's how they all start. Not all, but all the ones you write.
Yeah, pretty much.
Tell us about Cooper Tires.
They make tires.
Ah, thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome.
They're actually doing something really cool. They've got this initiative looking for the next generation, of which is not nearly as cool as Star Trek made it sound, of Cooper Tire employees. They actually went to the high school with this program trying to show how cool the technology has become to do what they do.
And the week before, they were at the Imagine the Possibilities Career Expo. So they just
So were we.
Took this to the classroom.
Did
as
we
well.
See them there? Did we run into them? Did we pass notes in the hall?
You were probably busy, you know, doing your thing.
Well, that's probably not true at all. But anyway,
and Cooper does it too. Does this program the manufacturing experience at all three of its U.S. locations: Tupelo, Findlay, Ohio, and Texarkana, Texas.
Yeah, Texarkana, Arkansas,
or Arkansas, one of them.
That's where the beer had to go.
Arkansas,
Smokey and the Bandit. Nobody? Really?
I've seen it. I told you that.
Oh, my gosh. Well, the folks are thirsty in Atlanta, and there's beer in Texarkana. They won't get it there no matter what it takes.
We'll take your word on it.
Eastbound and down. Okay, never mind. I tried, people. Oh. Cooper Tire.
Cooper Tire, anyway. So they met 360 kids or so at Tupelo High and kind of show them how to make tires.
Mm-hmm.
Well, obviously they didn't actually make tires, but sort of what goes into making a tire and describe what goes into it. And, you know, Cooper's been around for 32 years here in Tupelo, and some folks have been there since the beginning. Some have been there 10, 15 years. So obviously they're, you know, looking for workers down the road. Somebody knows, you know, an acquaintance, a friend, family member that works at Cooper.
I mean, how many do they employ?
They employ around 1,600.
There you go.
You know, $100 million annual payroll. So you do the math, they make pretty good money out there.
That's 1% of the population here.
So
can't back up that math. You tell me.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay.
We'll just assume.
All right.
So, you know, they spend 2 days out there at Tupelo High just to show them what they liked. And, you know, some kids, I'm sure, were quite interested. Other kids might not have been. But you know, if you just capture one or two, five or six kids, you know, down the road, you may have a future Cooper worker.
Maybe you shouldn't capture the kids. Maybe you should capture their imagination.
Capture their imagination.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it's to emphasize not only Cooper, but manufacturing in general, because it was manufacturing week. So they want to emphasize that, hey, we do make things in America.
How do you make a tire, Dennis? Show us here in the studio.
You take three different types of rubber, mm-hmm. synthetic, natural, mm-hmm. and some other rubber.
Texas rubber?
Maybe, or Arkansas. Uh-huh. And then you mix all these sorts of chemicals and stuff. Proprietary knowledge, I can't let you know exactly what it is.
And boom, tire.
And they mix it. It might be a passenger tire, might be a truck tire. You know, each tire has a different little formula.
That's fascinating.
Yes. Mm. We can smell Cooper when they're cranking it up down the road.
That we can.
That mixed with Sunshine dog food a little bit further down the road.
And our ink right here is
delicious.
Nice little smell here on the south side of town. All right. That's why you're growing that third arm. All right. Thanks for joining us today, Dennis.
You're welcome.
Well, another fine show, Derek. I suppose it was okay.
Sorry, that was too loud for Chris Kiefer. He moved to the mixer.
Between takes, we just heard Chris drop some flow on us.
He just waxed poetically.
Sure did. A little Hamilton.
He also rapped poetically.
Sure did. Too bad we didn't get it on tape.
Oh, I did. I was doing it over here.
Did you get it on the phone?
Sneaky.
Hamilton. It's not really. It's all the rage.
Not bad.
It's what the kids like.
It was. It's not so much anymore.
It still is.
Oh, it's still cool.
Lin-Manuel Miranda.
He didn't.
Oh, he's not doing the play? He's not in the play anymore?
No, he's been gone.
I didn't know.
He hosted SNL last week and did the opening. Did you see the...
I've got to go back and watch it.
It's pretty good, too. He did the opening monologue.
He's on to other things.
My shot.
I did see his Stranger Things.
Yeah, appearance. He's going to be... He did all the music in the new Disney animated movie, and he's also in the Mary Poppins sequel that's coming out. He's the male lead in that.
Really? They're doing a sequel to Mary Poppins? Yeah. How can you have Mary Poppins without Julie Andrews? I don't, or Dick Van Dyke. Is Dick Van Dyke in it? Did he make an appearance?
No, I think he's going to make an appearance,
And Julie Andrews, she's still alive. She can make an appearance.
Yeah, but I think he's kind of the Dick Van Dyke character now. He was Dick Van Dyke's apprentice.
Who's playing Mary Poppins?
Emily Blunt.
Okay. I've heard of her. Is she British?
I don't know. Emily Blunt.
Okay.
Look at that. Got it right.
Wait, is he going to affect a British accent for this, or is he just going to...
I would imagine that he would, yes.
Just curious.
Mary Poppins Returns, 2018. Oh, not to be confused with Batman Returns.
There's no original ideas left. Recycle everything.
Well, they were books. There's like six or seven Mary Poppins books.
And as I've stated, I'm not into musicals, but Mary Poppins is pretty good. It is. It's hard to...
You're such an evil person.
I just don't like musicals generally. Maybe I just like Julie Andrews because I actually like Sound of Music. Probably because my sister watched it over and over.
I was sick of it.
Yeah, but then years later,
you come back
and it's like, oh, it's familiar. And I like Julie Andrews.
Daniel has gotten really into Sound of Music, so we've been watching it over and over the last couple months.
Yeah, I used to hate it, now I like it. It's weird. But otherwise, musicals just don't do it for me. Show tunes don't do it for me.
You know what does it for me? Getting done with this show and getting back to work. But
most every other musical genre, though, I'm down with.
Most everyone?
Pretty much.
All right. Well,
just
country.
Well, not, no, yeah. If it's good country, it's good country and bad country. Bad country is what you hear on the radio.
Maybe R&B.
R&B, it's okay. Some of it.
Jazz?
No.
Almost every other one, Chris.
Hip hop, rock. Alternative, indie, country.
Forms of rock.
Other forms of rock, yes.
We're going to be back on Wednesday with a brand new... I'm just going to go ahead and save you. Move past you a shovel while you're digging a hole for yourself.
What are you talking about?
That's fine. I'm going to be back on Wednesday. We may have killed Brad by that point.
Sure.
Maybe we may send in the enforcer.
Love the blues.
Jackson area.
Blues are good.
You're still talking.
Blues rock is good.
Okay. Back on Wednesday. In the meantime, you can find us online. Memo.thejournal.com is where new episodes get posted. You can also listen to us through iTunes, Satchel, or many other podcast catchers. Or on Twitter, you can find out when new episodes are available by following us at TheJournalMemo.
What?
All right. I was just going to pass something to you there, but you didn't.
Emo is okay. It just depends.
Emo. Okay.
Who it is.
At TheJournal now is... At D Journal now is the Twitter where you can find out when new stories are available from the Daily Journal. All that we talked about today can be found online in your copy of the Daily Journal or at djournal.com. Back on Wednesday, when you might hear Brad say,
"The new Wilco album is pretty good,
dear God." We'll see you on Wednesday.